Okay, if you will open up to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And let's go to verse 18. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Actually, that word assure would have been better translated, persuade our hearts. And to me, that makes a little more sense of what he's saying, rather than our hearts being assured, but persuaded. For if our heart condemns us, God, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandments. I want to talk a little bit about, we've been talking about the issues of the heart, and actually the term heart is how you process everything on the inside of you. Remember how we covered that last Sunday, you know, and we had five areas that we talked about that involve how we process things. We're coming back here to 1 John chapter 3, and as we're reading here, there's some very interesting, it's a very interesting verses here. He said, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him. How many of you know that if your heart is healthy and you need to exercise faith, how many of you know you're exercising your faith will be a lot better off for you if you don't have the issues going on in your heart where you don't have that confidence? How many of you have been believing God for something, and yet you didn't really know how to believe Him for something because you know that inside you've got something not working right with you in your heart? Your heart's not really freed up. See, a lot of times people don't realize their faith does not work for them if their heart is not free. Your heart has to be freed up. You have to have confidence toward God. You have to believe in His name. But if you have a heart that is not freed up, then how are you going to fully understand how to receive anything from God if it comes through the issues of your heart? Well, anyway, John, I'm preaching all right, amen. But that's true. You know, a lot of times people get so frustrated because they have to exercise their faith however they're exercising it. And a lot of times they don't seem to really get what they would like to get or receive. And a lot of times, I've talked to a few, a lot of times they don't have confidence in their heart that what they've asked for or what they were believing for would even come to pass. And so one of the things that you have to understand about exercising your faith is that you have to know within yourself you have a freed up heart. How many understand what I'm talking about? You have to have a freedom in your heart, because notice what he says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It isn't that God is in a works situation from us, but God has delivered the authority of what His kingdom is about to the church. And so the authority is within us. And he's not saying here you have to have a works program going in order for you to receive from Him. He's talking about your heart being freed up so you can exercise your faith and receive from Him by doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I'll tell you, the carnal mind is—it has this works mentality always going, and it always makes you feel like if you're doing the right thing, that you can believe God. Sometimes I've done the wrong thing, and yet I was determined to believe God for something. I've actually done that. Somebody said, "Well, how can you do that?" I have no idea. But I know eventually it's going to come back back to me for issues in my life that I've got to make adjustments or change in. But really, the thing boils down to God wanting you to be free for what He's already given you, what He's already prepared for you, because you're doing the right thing. You know, it's not because God's up there waiting for you to do the right thing before He'll do anything. No, it's your faith that you're exercising. It's your authority. And He's just trying to give us information of how it will work for us. You know. Now, I've prayed for a lot of you, and you've come forward for healing. And a lot of you haven't been getting your healing. And so today, I want to talk a little bit about what is necessary for you. Okay, I'm sitting here talking about faith, and just ignore the flesh, okay? We still have to speak the Word of God regardless. So, I'm going to give you some points that Kenneth Hagin gave us years ago that I've always cherished. I've really, really liked him because it's helped me to understand how to get settled in my heart so that I can believe God and receive from Him. It's simple stuff, but it's stuff that we do need to think about and we need to know about. So if you've got a pencil paper, please write them down. I'll go as slow as I can for you. If your faith, you need to exercise your faith. First of all, there's three types of faith. There's what we call the triumphant faith. And then we have transforming faith. Then we have transcending faith. Then we have the gift of faith. The triumphant faith wins victories, especially for surprise attacks. How many of you know what surprise attacks are in your life? And then we have what we call transforming faith. This changes the way that our mind thinks. All of us have to go through a change in our thinking because your faith really hinges on how you think. And then transcending faith continues on in despite of great loss. If you go through life and you've exercised your faith and you haven't seen it come to pass like you thought it would, don't give up. Allow your faith to remain intact and continue on. Because God will always answer you eventually down the road concerning why something doesn't work. Give God time. Always give God time. And then the gift of faith is a supernatural manifestation given at a specific time that it's needed, such as the gift of a miracle healing or something like that. And so we've got these different kinds of faith in our life. But I'm going to just give you a basic understanding of what it means to exercise your faith. Again, faith has to grow in you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Your faith has to grow within you. People say, if I just have a mustard seed of faith, I could say to this mountain, be thou removed. That's not what the Bible says. It says that if you have faith as a mustard seed, when it can grow, then you'll be able to speak to that mountain. It should, you know, something that's immovable. There's something working in you that will make it move. So that has to be something going on the inside of you. Amen? And if that's referring to God, then where does God have to grow to a place to get you to move that mountain? So it can't be referring to God having to grow. It's talking about you having to grow to a place where you can say to that mountain, that immovable thing. Look at Mount Rainier. How many can say that when you look at that mountain, it ain't going nowhere? I mean, it's immovable. Well, that's why I use this term here. When it seems like in our life, there are things in our life that gets in the way that seems immovable. And if the authority has been transferred to us, then it's our authority that's going to make that thing move. It's not referring to God having to grow into a place of moving it for us. It's talking about us having that place of growth in us to speak to that mountain and say, get out of the way. You know? And so we've got to start thinking more towards along the lines that God has already done everything He's going to do for us. It's predicated on how we're going to react with what's in our heart. And if you got a problem where you don't have confidence towards God, then change it in you. Don't wait for God to do something when you're good enough. No, change it in you. And then your destiny is back into your hands. But it'll always come back to a change that needs to take place on the inside of you. Boy, I can't say that enough. And so I've got basically 10 points here that Kenneth Hagin shared one time that I really liked him, and I wrote them down because I didn't want to forget them. Number one, recognize the source. And what I mean by that is if you ever need to exercise your faith over anything that you encounter in life, recognize where the source that it's coming from in order for you to work your faith against it. Case in point. What if I were like now, resisting a cold? I my mind is not saying that God put the cold on me so that I could learn how to resist the cold. That's a wrong source. Recognize where the right source of this thing came from. You know, evidently it came from the element of this world. And so you have to recognize the source. A lot of believers think that their lot in life is by the will of God. Well, you better make sure it's not your lot in life if it's a negative thing in your life. You know, it's probably something you put yourself into. So recognize where the source is coming from, and that source could be you. Not really. A lot of times people go through things and they say, what is the Lord trying to teach you? I told this one person one time, he's trying to teach you not to go there where you get into that trouble, that thing again. Well, is that a word from the Lord? I said, well, yeah, it wasn't a direct word from God to you. It is a direct word from God out of his word for you. So recognize where the source is coming from. Don't sit there and accuse God of everything that you get into for you to be educated. If that was the case, we'd all be geniuses by now. Number two, be sure the promises of God cover the things you ask for. Be sure that the promises of God cover the things that you ask for. You know, don't go beyond the Word of God. That's what Kenneth Hagin said. Don't go beyond the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, that's what you get for a promise that covers the thing you ask for. You see, faith does not say, I will ascend in Him. That is, bring Christ down from above. That is not speaking faith. Faith is declaring what God has already given you. So be sure the promises of God cover the things you ask for. Number three, be sure you're not living in sin. Boy, sin will really cause your heart to come under condemnation. You ain't going to have no faith or no authority to exercise when your heart is condemning you in that passage. Make sure you're not living in sin. Number four, this is a biggie. Be sure no doubt or unbelief is permitted to question your faith. That is a biggie for a lot of us. How many of you know what I'm talking about on this one? Just three, four. Let's all get our hands up on this one, okay? We all do this. We allow doubt or unbelief permitted to question your faith. Well, see, if your heart condemns you, the doubt will come in, and doubt has instant effect. Remember Peter, he wanted to come out on the water. Jesus said, come. And it said he stepped out on the water. He was doing a good job. That wasn't the way it worked for me one time. I was out to a restaurant with a couple of people. Of course, I was young in the faith. I was bold. And I was telling them, I have enough faith I can walk on this water out here. My wife goes, oh, my gosh. But I had that faith. I thought I did. I didn't realize it was translated stupidity, but I went out there on the dock. I challenged him. I said, yeah, I'm going to show you how faithful I am. I stepped off that dock, and I sank like a rock all the way to the bottom. I did not want to come out of that water. But Peter began to look at everything around him, and immediately he began to sink. And then Jesus reached over and touched him, brought him up, and said, wherefore did you doubt? Instant. So doubt means another opinion that gets in the way. That's what doubt is, just another opinion gets in the way. So be sure that no doubt or unbelief is permitted to question your faith. Number five, and this is a biggie, sincerely desire the benefit. A lot of people even question whether that God wants them to have it or not. Well, then why ask? You're the one doing the asking. You're the one setting out in faith. Well, is it something you really desire in your heart? If it is, then stick with it. You know, a double-minded person never receives anything from God. Number six. Oh, this is a real heavy. Ask God in faith. Some people go to God and say, I think I'll test my faith whether I have enough or not. How would you know? Is God going to come down and say, nope, you're not there yet. Here, put this thermometer in your mouth and we'll find out. Mark 11:24 says, ask God in faith. Point number seven. Do not tolerate a thought to the contrary. Don't be double-minded about it. Point number eight. Seven, do not tolerate a thought contrary to what you're believing for. And number eight, count the thing done. Your receiving is not the same as a manifestation. It says if you believe, you will have them. So a lot of times when you ask God for something and you're putting your faith out there, you've got to receive it then, not when you see it. You know, a lot of people come up for healing. And their body has talked them out of their healing before they sit down because they haven't seen the manifestation of it yet. Everyone's different. You can never categorize people into the same mold. Everyone's different. They process things different. Their hearts are always processing things different. And so you can't go by the witness of men. You can only go by the testimony of God when you're exercising your faith. Amen? And boy, you find that a lot in churches where the witness of people are predominant over the fact of the will of God. We went to a restaurant 1 year ago. I don't know whether you were there, Tammy, and we were talking about the things of God and our faith and everything. And there was a couple sitting next to us. Was you there? And they said, say, I can't help but listen to what you're saying. And my I can't remember if it was her girl, his girlfriend or someone he was going to marry. Anyway, she had terminal cancer. And so whatever we were talking about concerning faith, he wanted us to minister that to her because everyone at their church was telling her that she's going to die because Sister So-and-so died who was believing, for the same thing. And I kept thinking, man, that person has no hope. I meant that you come to the house of God, and that's where you have hope. Amen? So if you have terminal cancer, what do we tell them? Well, I know Sister So-and-so, she was a godly woman, she croaked. Well, what's that got to do with where her heart was and where your heart's at? Amen? Your heart might be in a different place. See, we don't receive the same way all the time. These little, one-liners here will help get you focused for yourself, not because somebody else. I know that there's been a time in my life where I heard great men of God dying, at an early age, that were powerful, and miracles and everything. And you know what your mind wants to do, your carnal mind? See, you can count on the same thing. Well, where'd that come from? Because you start comparing yourself with somebody else. Paul even said, when you start comparing yourself with somebody else, you're not wise. You have no wisdom working. Because we're all different. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if that's a hallelujah thing, but but count the thing done. It's done. You know, I have to, you know why it's so important that you speak the word of God, you speak your faith? Because you have carnal thinking. And the only way you corral that carnal thinking is to let your mouth do some walking. And that mouth has to speak against that thinking. And so a lot of times, especially if it's something important, every time that mind kicks up the dust, man, you gotta put some water on it. You gotta speak the word of God. And this is an important thing to understand about your faith working for you. Point number 9. You're giving glory. You're giving a glory to God in His love. When I pray for some people that are terminal, I say, praise God. You know what? This is giving us an opportunity to manifest the love of God for mankind by you receiving your healing. I met a lady in Coos Bay when we were traveling all over Oregon and teaching and preaching the Word of God, me and Dave Roberson at that time. And this lady, I went into this hall, and this lady had helped put this meeting together for Dave and me, and she was beaming. I meant her eyes sparkled. She had a glow about her. And I said, well, what makes you so happy? Oh, she says, you know what, Jan? She says, you have no idea how much I love God. And I said, well, I can see it all over you. And so she was very helpful during the meeting and everything. Towards the end, I went up to her and I says, why are you so on fire? You know, it's unusual to see somebody on fire. Like, she says, Jan, I was destined to death. And I says, destined to death? She says, let me explain. I was feeling kind of weak and tired, and I went to the doctor. You're full-blown cancer. And so there's no hope for you. And she said, my mind right away just raced in me. And I don't know what it would be like to face something like that, but I imagine it would be pretty horrendous, don't you? And so she said, I settled it right there in my heart that my Lord would deliver me. And so she would not permit herself to see death. And she said, I got out the promises of God. She was doing this stuff right here. And she said, I kept confessing it and thanking God for my healing, and not once did I ever go back to ask Him for thy healing again. She said, I had received it. I knew I was going to have it. And she wasn't denying that she did not see it yet, but she was confessing that she had received it. See? And so she went on and she said, Jan, she said, I don't remember how long it took, but I went back to the doctor and he was shocked. He called it a medical miracle. And they, at first he was so overwhelmed by not finding anything that he had to go back to the x-rays, you know, and reevaluate. And so he thought, well, maybe we got you mixed up, you know. And boy, how many times I've witnessed that even here in this church. People have tumors and stuff, and they go back to the doctor, they're gone. Well, then the doctors always question, well, it must be the equipment, because they can't see the miraculous part of it, you know. And so they finally said, yeah, we did give you that that deal, and these are your x-rays. And boy, she looked down, she said, couldn't believe it, how full of cancer she was. And so the doctor said, well, you must have some faith in somebody. She says, I do. I have faith in my Lord. And so he started, or she started telling him what she did. And he go, oh, okay, well, you know. But boy, she said, I haven't been able to come down since. You know, I hadn't been able to come down since. And she says, that's why I'm so happy. Isn't that cool? So you actually have to look at it this way. You're giving glory back to God for His love for you. Now listen, if you're looking to receive something for God to prove that God can heal, that's a wrong spirit. God didn't give His healing power to us to prove that He could heal. He gave it to us to prove to humanity of His love for us to be free from sickness and disease and things like that. That's how you have to look at it. It goes back to the number one thing. Recognize the source. Amen? And then, so I'll go over them real quick. Like, recognize the source. Be sure the promises of God cover the thing you ask for. You know, it's important that you ask specifically for something. You know, state it. And then, be sure you're not living in sin. That's a major part. Be sure no doubt or unbelief is permitted to question your faith. Sincerely desire the benefit. Ask God in faith. Do not tolerate a thought to the contrary. Count the thing as done. You're giving a glory to God. You're giving a glory to God. Somebody said one time to me, well, you said ask God. I thought we exercised our authority. You usually, what you go is, you go to God when you're asking for something. It's something that's not very clear in Scripture as to the will of God for that. But if you can find the things that do cover what you need, you don't have to go to God and ask for it. You just declare it. Thought I'd better clarify that. Amen? Well, did you guys get something here this morning? See, don't look at exercising faith as a non-tangible thing. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Oh, I only had nine. I'm sorry. I misinterpreted my notes. Well, yeah, I can give you a number 10 if you'd like 10. You want me to give you a 10? I'll give you 10. Okay? Recognize that you're fighting the good fight of faith. Recognize that you're fighting the good fight of faith. You know, we look at faith as something, oh, no, it's a good thing. Because, see, God gave you that position for your faith to work. God gave it to you. He gave you that position. Hey, what would your faith be in before you came into the kingdom of God? What faith did you have? I'll tell you what faith I had. None. My whole philosophy in life was, how much could I take for how long? If I hadn't gotten saved, I would have probably been on the other side by now. Amen? So number 10. Understand that you're fighting the good fight of faith. That's what they call. The Bible talks about the good fight of faith. Well, that's a good fight. Amen? It's not a hopeless one. You know, people don't understand that your faith is not activated on what you try to prove. Some people seem to think, that they need approval or they need to test their faith before they actually exercise it. There is no such thing. Your faith is activated by what you need, period. If you question your faith at all, then what you have to do is you'll come up with the thought that you have to test it first. There's no testing to faith. That's what makes faith so bad for a lot of people. It's not a works mentality. A lot of people seem to think exercising faith is a works mentality. It's not anything that you try to receive. You see, when you act that way, you're a poor listener. Good listeners know how to exercise their faith. Poor listeners don't. Now, you know what? I'm preaching something very basic to you guys, but I've sat with a few of you, and I've heard things come out of your mouth that shocked me. Last person I talked to, she went on home to be with the Lord. She says, Pastor Jan, yeah, I'm believing that I've received. I'm believing that I received. I says, so what are you believing that you received? I believe I'm going to be healed. I believe I'm going to be healed. I said, well, that believing will get you dead. She looked at me. What do you mean? Isn't that right? I said, no. You have a promise that was given to you. You don't say with your mouth, I'll ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down. She looked at me and she blinked her eyes. She said, is that right? Give me a revelation right then and there. Unless she changes the way she thinks, she ain't going to make it. Because that is not how you approach God for something. Especially when you're written off. You get it established in you. The things that cover what you believe in. Stand firm on them and believe that you receive them. And then you shall have them. I know I did a teaching on this a long time ago about when you ask and you receive are two different things. You know, the manifestation versus the receiving. I talked about that, and I put it out over the Sky Angel. Remember when you were on television? And I got more response off of that than anything else because a lot of people did not know that. They didn't know, why are you ascending into heaven asking for God for something he already gave you? Now, if you want to know something about your ministry or where you're to move or a new job, you know, those are things you can go to God and ask for. Are you following me? And God will give you confirmation or direction or whatever. But when the revealed will of God is there for you and the situation you're in calls for you to grab a hold of the revealed will of God, then you have a right to do that. And you don't go to God and ask him for that. You go to God and confirm to him that your faith is firm in what he's already given you. That's how faith speaks. Now, some people in their faith, they behave themselves into a situation that God, I believe this, God will deliver you in your ignorance. But he'll eventually tell you, don't go there again. And get into that same situation. Because if you do, you know better now, you're on your own. I've been in that position. Have you ever been in that position, John? You have? You, John Cook? I figured you'd say, never been there. Your body cannot give you any authority as to whether you receive from God or not, period. Nor your carnal mind. The only thing that has authority is the word that's in your lap. Amen. Well, are you guys going to straighten up? Dear Heavenly Father, as we now close this service, I want to thank you so much for the wonderful Father that you are. Father, I want to thank you for the freedom that we have in you. And I want to thank you for your love that you have towards us. Father, more than anything, I ask this Christmas that everybody in this body be in faith, use wisdom, use the wisdom of handling their money correctly, and also being ever-present aware of thieves and robbers. Father, cause them to be on alert with discernment for that, so that they have a wonderful Christmas. And Father, those that don't have, Father, we ask that somehow you supply those that are worthy of having need to have something for this Christmas. Father, I wish that we could all see the ones that will be hurting this Christmas. We could all see them and somehow meet a need for them. But we know that's impossible. But Father, we do know that when we pray and ask, see to it, Father, that they get a Christmas this year. In Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service, Father, if there's anyone here that would like to give their heart and life to Jesus, we would love to pray for them. Love to see you just bring them on into the kingdom of heaven. If they've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, Father, we would love to pray for them to receive that wonderful, wonderful baptism. And Father, if they need healing, may they come forward to receive Jesus' name. So if you fit for salvation, for physical healing, baptism, step out right now and come forward. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. Yes. Right here. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pray for your dismissal, and then I'll pray for them. So, Heavenly Father, as we dismiss everyone, may they have a blessed day. We'll see them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.